WRIF, WRIF HD1 Detroit.
Now.
Welcome to the award-winning Night Call, the Riff's phone-in talk show on 101 WRIF Detroit. Our number, 313-298-WRIF. Now, here's the host of Night Call, Peter Werby.
Well, thank you very much, Angeline Jordan. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you, Peter.
I didn't say welcome to the audience because it occurred to me our announcer already did.
He did.
But hey, welcome, everybody. This is WRIF's phone-in talk show, and our numbers are 313-298-WRIF.
313-298-9743. I want to give some kudos to Hightower.
Hightower.
Who's in here before us. He had us on time within 1 second.
Yeah.
That was pretty darn good.
So that's amazing.
We appreciate him.
Because you understand this, folks. You got to time these songs out, and to get it right up at 11 o'clock sharp.
It's not easy.
It's not only not easy, but it's a challenge. In a sense, it's not necessary. It's not like network television, right?
Right. Yeah.
So it's just a challenge that
that we enjoy.
Yeah, and that he's taken on.
Yeah.
Well, wow, what a weekend. I saw a lot of music down at City Fest.
Right.
I saw some fireworks in Huntington Woods. And how about you?
I worked all weekend.
Well, you know, fun.
Yeah, a lot of people brought me grilled food, so that was good. Yeah.
Very good. You didn't eat it in the studio, though, right?
Oh, no, it's not allowed.
It's not allowed.
Never would do that.
Right, right. Hey, by the way, the best way to get your opinions on the air is by calling 313-298-WRIF, but there's sort of a back door as well. It's our email address. It's calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Short ones are best because if they're real long, you know, we can't edit them on the fly here. You know, I was answering some today, and I noticed they were like from May 24th.
Well, at least you still answered them because you almost always do.
I'm there with it. You know, there are so many things going on every day, every week, and it's, sometimes it's hard to realize that we're always living history.
True.
I don't know what people will call this. We have the 90s, the 80s, the 70s, and whatever. What do they call this? The aughts?
Yeah, that's
like
a good question.
Aught nine or the zeros.
What shall we call it?
Yeah, under Bush, it was certainly the zeros ought to be the way you call it. But the early 21st century, so, you know, no matter how old you are, at some point, we're going to be looking back on this as history, and there's some crucial events going on, some of which pop up, like what's going on in Honduras with this president that was illegally deposed
ousted.
Ousted. There you go. I won't have to fish around for a word. By this coup, by this military coup, and the president of Honduras, whose name is Manuel Zelaya, he was kept from landing at the main Honduras airport today because the runway was blocked by military vehicles and groups of soldiers who were fighting an assembled crowd who'd come there to welcome him.
They mean it. You're out. So now he's in El Salvador. He vows that he'll be trying to get back in tomorrow.
Well, it's going to be curious what happens because the Organization of American States has declared him the legitimate president. That usually the United States is behind these coups.
Right.
Because Zelaya, although he had started off, he came from a very wealthy family. He was very conservative, and suddenly, oh man, what was he doing? He was doing a few things for the people.
No.
So he's he's out of there. And actually, this is unusual because there's any number of leftist presidents south of the border, south of Mexico, I guess. And this time it doesn't appear as though the United States was behind it, which is pretty refreshing.
It sure is.
So also.
But you know what's not refreshing?
What? No.
Can I go there
yet? No.
My weekend really was kind of ruined, you know, because you don't have the TV on when you're on the air. I always have that sucker going. And, you know, you throw on a little CNN, you go through who is on every single channel.
Not her.
Sarah Palin. She's back. Even though everyone's like, oh, yay, she's going away. She's resigned as governor. She's, you know, getting out early. Oh, it's the prospects are very frightening.
Well, actually, I did assemble a lot of Sarah Palin stuff because it's sort of like a, you know, a car accident with where people have been injured severely. You know, you go by it and you try not to look.
I know.
But that's what it is. I mean, it's this political traffic accident.
Well, each of us watched her 7-minute I'm leaving as governor speech.
You know, I turned it on and I thought, wait a minute, is this like a Tina Fey parody?
Really? It could have been Tina Fey. Because you said you've got to watch this. So I did.
Yeah.
And my immediate response after watching the entire thing was, what the hell did she just say? What is she talking about?
Well, here's what Gail Collins in the New York Times most emailed story for the last few days. Sarah's straight talk. Truly, she says, Sarah Palin has come a long way. When she ran for vice president, she frequently became disjointed and garbled when she departed from her prepared remarks. Now the prepared remarks are incoherent, too. On Friday, she announced that she would resign as governor of Alaska at the end of this month, and she says, and a problem in our country today is apathy. It would be apathetic to just hunker down and go with the flow. Nah, only dead fish go with the flow. No, productive, fulfilled people determine where to put their efforts, choosing to wisely utilize precious time to build up.
And what is she talking about?
Well, Gail Collins says the point was that Palin is quitting as governor because she's not a quitter or a deceased salmon.
I loved that line.
Yeah, that's
and then she brought back the old Sarah Barracuda. And Maureen Dowd in the New York Times today had one of the most emailed lines that, to me, because, you know, everyone out there knows what I do here, right? And they wanted me to hear this one. So, Caribou Barbie is one nutty puppy.
Well, I remember she was talking along, then it looked like she was going to end. And suddenly it was like, oh, I forgot I was going to do this basketball analogy.
Oh, yeah. You know, I like to put it in terms of sports. And I thought, please don't go there. Just don't go anywhere.
Can anybody give us a call at 313-298-WRIF? Because this is interesting. Well, you'll have to be the judge of this. I went to Detroit schools, and I went to predominantly African-American schools, and so when I rarely got to play basketball, the courts were always dominated by the African-American kids, and us dirty white boys rarely ever got to play. So the game, so basketball,
poor little white boy.
Yeah. So what do you call it? Basketball isn't my, you know, I mean, I
forte.
No, not at all. So, but Sarah Palin says, I said, you got to keep your eye on the basket. Which
was her analogy.
Now, isn't that right? You have to keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah, right. But it was on the basket.
Yeah. Now, so basketball players, is that right? Are you keeping your eye on the basket? Because I know, for instance, in handball that I play, which is the same as racquetball, one of the things you say, because every once in a while you think, oh, I'm going to hit it over there to the left corner, and you're looking at the corner instead of the ball. So you say, you know, look at the ball, not the wall. Right?
Yeah, and in golf, you want to keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah. So she wasn't keeping her eye on the ball. She was keeping her eye on the basket.
Yeah.
So basketball players, is that a correct? Might have been. Maybe it is. Because there's an old African-American, what do you call it? Gospel song. They keep your eye on the prize.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah,
hold on. So maybe that's correct. So, I mean.
Maybe
but,
it is.
But
somebody
screwed up.
But I have to say, the first dude.
Todd Palin. Yeah.
That guy, watching that video, he is such a dolt, Peter. I mean, and I hate to be a name caller, and you go ahead, call me out, and I'm doing it. But the thing is, he just stands there kind of like a zombie. Did you watch him at all?
Yeah, I did. I was watching everybody. And,
I kind of hate the analogy, but really, who is wearing the pants in this family?
Well,
it ain't Todd.
You know, it is, remember what they, one of the things said that there was, that Piper, one of the kids, was there, and then in the back was their Piper Cub plane.
Yeah, I was wondering what was with the plane. That was theirs, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's what she shoots wolves out of, right?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'm getting really sick of guys named Todd.
Including Todd Palin. He's been officially in the Todd Club since about August.
Now, Mary Madeline, who is a one of these, God.
She's married to James Carville.
Yeah, and she's...
And she's on the right.
She's a Republican.
And
yeah.
He's on the left.
Yeah.
That works, I don't know.
She called it brilliant, the resignation.
Did she really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
and
boy.
Here in the New York Times article, actually, this is Gail Collins still. She says... that Palin was the subject of a devastating article in this month's Vanity Fair by Todd Purdom, another Todd, we like that Todd, who wrote that the McCain campaign aides, found it almost impossible to get Palin to prepare for her disastrous interview with Katie Couric. And there is no sign, Purdom reported, that Palin has made any attempt to bone up on the issues so that next time around she could run as a candidate who actually had some grasp of the intricacies of foreign and domestic policy. So if she's starting to run, it will be the same reporter-avoiding, generalization-spouting underachiever that she was last time around. Now we know that she not only doesn't have the concentration to read a policy paper, she can't focus long enough to finish the job she was hired to do. That's her experience now. So she was governor for 2.5 years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this, by the way, this, let me see if I have this up here. Yes, I do. On my website, PeterWerbe.com, PeterWerbe.com, there's the article. It came from Wasilla.
Oh, from Wasilla.
It came from Wasilla. there's any number of interesting things that I've placed there recently. One is this, and this is what we should be talking about, the economy. Rolling Stone, I've seen this guy's name so many. Taibbi? Is that how you say it? T-A-I-B-B-I? I think it's Taibbi. Matt Taibbi talks about how Goldman Sachs has engineered every major market manipulation since the Great Depression.
I saw that article in the studio yesterday, but it's
very long.
It's
he
very long.
Yeah.
I got distracted, just like Miss Palin.
Don't tell me you were doing your job.
I was working.
But,
yes.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. Is there more? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. You know, one of the things that Sarah Palin is always whining about the politics of destruction, because she's made herself such a focal point of comedy and ridicule.
People
actually
tearing her down.
You ever remember, though, that that she was the one who said that Barack Obama was palling around with the terrorist Ayers?
Yes.
Hey, baby, what goes around comes around. Right? Yeah. Too bad.
Well, and then, you know, now there's talk of, okay, people are saying, will she run in 2012? There's also talk that she may run for Senate in Alaska. So that's that's scary, too.
Well, this Todd Purdom, who wrote the article in, about Palin for Vanity Fair, he writes that several people told me independently of one another that they had consulted the definition of narcissistic personality disorder in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, which is a pervasive pattern of grandiosity in fantasy or behavior, need for admiration, and lack of empathy.
Ooh.
That's her.
Yeah, sure is.
And, this is in the Marine Dow. Article. On the shores of Lake Lucille, with wildfowl honking and the first dude smiling, with Piper in the foreground and their Piper cub in the background, the woman who took the Republican Party by storm only 10 months ago gave an incoherent, breathless, and prickly stream of consciousness to a small group in her Wasilla yard.
It was breathless.
Yeah.
She was just all over the place.
Yeah.
Rambling.
And her, who's threatening here? The Palin attorney is threatening, the Huffington Post, MSNBC, the New York Times, and the Washington Post, and also some bloggers, because they were saying that she is under federal investigation for embezzlement or other criminal wrongdoing. Well, that's one of the speculations, that she quit because another shoe is going to drop.
Really?
She's had,
one of her high heels is going to drop?
13 ethics complaints. Without naming any name, let's move on to high heels.
Oh, really?
A former colleague of ours.
You?
If you're listening, baby, too bad. It's on your Facebook. You want to tell it or do you?
I'm not telling it.
Yeah.
I can't believe you are.
I won't even say the day part, but this woman we know who is on this Christian station, right?
That's all it is. Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Her little
Profile picture
is a, what would you call it? Come on, say
it's a hot pink you know, do me pump.
Yeah, right.
Give it to me pump.
Yeah.
As in shoe.
Yeah. So what's up with that?
Peter, Christians have sex, too.
I know.
Remember how many people have told us this?
Some more than others, like Mark Sanford.
Oh, yes. Oh, the embattled Mark Sanford, South Carolina governor. Listen, Peter, this is a love story.
It is.
Okay?
We need music.
We do, because there's a whole lot more to this than just a simple affair. The love story is a forbidden one and a tragic one, but a love story at the end of the day. I'm trying to learn to love my wife again.
That's a quote, folks.
How would you feel if you were the wife? Like, okay, you're gonna try to fall in love with me again? Listen, here's the door. Don't let it hit you in the ass.
What is the psychological information there? He wanted to get out of everything. I mean, he must have known this was going to destroy him.
You know, why, really, with this whole thing, why doesn't he just get a divorce and get his lover and just...
Why does he shut up?
You know, well, seriously, that I have to say his honesty was kind of refreshing, but bizarre.
Whatever happened to Hank the Deuce, you know, Henry Ford II, well, his motto was, don't explain, don't complain.
Really?
Yeah. So they pillar you in the press, so what? You
know, well, yeah.
It'll go away. I mean, you don't get on there. I mean, there's something wrong with all of these Republicans that have given these public statements and that go on and on and on. I've had an affair, or I am not gay. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Old Widestance.
Senator Widestance
Larry
from
Craig.
Idaho. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the answer to two questions, so. What state are you from and what are you? That's the guy that got caught in the Minneapolis bathroom, right?
He changed that bathroom forever.
Yeah,
you know, people
did.
Go in there and say, oh, this is where the old Widestance was.
Yeah, because he was accused. The people may remember this Republican senator from Idaho who was anti-gay and, you know, with all of his
sanctity of marriage.
Yeah, yeah. And he
guy.
Was. And so this cop who was a decoy claimed that Senator Widestance was kicking him, or, you know, tapping his foot.
The foot tap.
The
yeah,
foot
say,
tap.
Hey,
and
he
said, I take a wide stance.
Peter, did I ever ask you, do you take a wide stance?
I didn't talk about it.
What is your stance like?
Not in public bathrooms, that's for sure. Well, back to Mark Sanford, who apparently now has saw his lover three times in New York. And I this threw me at first. Said the trips were paid for by either the governor or a third party. And I'm thinking, a third party?
You know, yeah.
Yeah, but then it turned out that it was the Republican Governors Association that did it. And then he saw Maria Shapur, and then the next day he paid for Mrs. Sanford to join him. I mean, this guy is knocking it back.
Well, I don't think he was knocking it back with the wife.
Probably not.
Right.
Well, here's the sad end of it all. Mr. Sanford's admission of an affair has apparently cost him a book deal. He had a contract to write about fiscal responsibility for Sentinel, a conservative imprint of Penguin Group USA. The book, to be titled Within Our Means, was scheduled for publication in March 2010. In a statement, Adrian Zackheim, Sentinel's publisher, said the company had agreed to release Mr. Sanford from his contract by a mutual decision. In 2000, the governor wrote a book about his stint as a congressman and on term limits. It was called The Trust Committed to Me.
And now the new one will be The Trust I Did Not Commit. Wait,
well, plus he said
The Trust I Broke.
But then, you know, he goes on, because then he had an interview with the Associated Press, and he said, I crossed lines.
Oh, yeah, he crossed
did lines.
But could have been a little blow involved.
Yeah.
But, you know, he said that he crossed lines with a handful of other women during 20 years of marriage, but not as far as he did with his mistress. So what, you know, what are the lines? Is it the whole, you know, oh, can I say
it?
I don't know if I can say that on the air about if it's.
Oh, no, no,
it's not cheating.
Oh, no, no, no.
I can't say that?
No, don't say it.
Say it.
If it's.
I alluded.
It ain't cheating. Yeah. Yeah. What rhymes with cheating?
Right. All right. There you go.
He probably could say it, but what the hell? This is maybe a family show. I don't know. I mean, there are some. Oh,
I think there's a reason we're on late, because we tend to go there. You know?
Let's see. You know, so he said he danced with other women, which is inappropriate, but then...
Oh, he danced.
He met Maria Balan Shapur, his lover. He met her at an open-air dance spot in Uruguay 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. So
yeah.
Who knows where
it's
that
will look. Hot love affair. Yeah,
Sanford, Governor Sanford of South Carolina said, I'm not resigning. I've been able to do my job, in fact, excel at it, while acknowledging he is a spectator at his own political funeral.
Which kind of is.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, he owes it to his boys, to the last 20 years with Jenny, to not try this larger walk of faith.
What the hell did
Best of luck to you.
All right. That was good fun. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan. Night Call is the program you're listening to, and our numbers are 313-298-WRIF, 313-298-9743. I don't know whether you thought this was fun or not. We did. It's unfortunate that this is what this country is cursed with in terms of politicians. And part of it
is.
Yeah. There's a whole sector, and this has always probably been true, is that people see rule, in other words, becoming part of the ruling apparatus as either a racket. I mean, sometimes, you know, outward, like the Monica Conyers or, you know, people that have actually been caught in financial scams, or sort of a personal scam where they achieve power over others. And so you get some very, very odd types that, that are attracted to politics. You get some good people, too. Here, this is unusual. Do you know what this is? Can I show you this?
Oh, it's a real-life letter that someone wrote.
Yeah.
Wow. People still do that.
And they wrote it to me.
Well, Peter.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
That is.
Usually, we tell people if you want to contact us, calltalkyes@yahoo.com. But, let me see.
It's like a pretty lengthy letter.
Women have such nice handwriting. What's up with that? Oh, Kathleen, yeah. Who lives in Detroit,
that
I won't say her
beautiful.
Last name, she wrote a very nice letter, said, I've been listening to your show for some months now, and I very much enjoy it. I found the radio show completely by accident. The guy down the street kept calling me a liberal, while I thought I was very conservative, but listening to your show has convinced me that I must be a liberal because I tend to agree with your point of view. Is there such a thing as a conservative liberal? Yeah, I mean, Barack Obama.
Yeah, true. Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton, yeah. They want to conserve a lot of things. But kidding aside. Oh, let me say that if people want to send snail mail, as we derogatorily call it now, you can send it to me, Peter Werby, W-E-R-B-E, care of W-R-I-F, and it's 1 Radio Plaza, 1 Radio Plaza, Ferndale, 48220.
It is.
Right there.
And I think
Thank
that
you, Kathleen. She did say, by the way, she, oh. I think, disagreed with me, us, some about abortion, but it's,
oh, okay.
It's too long.
Well, you know what? She should turn her neighbor on to us and really make him crazy.
There you go.
Yeah.
But,
we encourage it.
One of the things that occurred to me, because a little later, the things that I wanted to talk about that were serious, about these wars that are going on, about what's happening with these medical bills and the idea that we're going to get some sort of medical reform, the economy, all of this, is that that I've been listening. And I never used to do this before. I never used to watch television either. What's happening to me? Anyway, these conservatives want to, just what their name says. They want everything to remain as it is. Just get rid of all the liberals and any liberal programs. I don't mean these kind of programs, right. Not radio programs, but the policies that have made this country, you know, somewhat livable. It's not exactly where we'd like it at right now. But things like safety standards and minimum wage and somewhat of a guarantee of an income, which happened up until the Bush, Bush wrecked everything. But I was listening to this show that I usually don't. I won't even say this guy's name. Boy, I mean, there's something frightening about some of these right-wingers. I mean, some of them, you say they're frightening because of their views. But some of them just have this edge of, it's weird to say, almost violence.
Anger.
I guess maybe that's it.
Yeah.
I guess that's it.
I know people say, I watch it to see what the right's saying. We already know what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know?
This was radio.
Oh, yeah. Well, either way, why would you do this to yourself?
I don't know. I don't listen to it very long, I have to say. But this guy was doing a show about health care, and he had these people calling in and saying, this is the United States has the most wonderful health care system in the world, and if we change it, it'll go totally down the drain and all of that. I may have read this last week, but medical bills prompt more than 60% of U.S. bankruptcies, that an estimated 1.5 million Americans will declare bankruptcy, and 60% of that is because they have actually capsized by medical bills.
I had no idea.
Yeah, wow. This is amazing. Bankruptcies due to medical bills increased by nearly 50% in a six-year period between, guess when, 2001 and 2007.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Most of those who filed for bankruptcy were middle-class, well-educated homeowners, according to the American Journal of Medicine. Unless you're Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, you're one illness away from financial ruin in this country, says lead author. This was from an article in the American Journal of Medicine. Yeah. If an illness is long enough and expensive enough, private insurers offer very little protection against medical bankruptcy, and that's the major finding in our study. But there's actually more to it. And this from just a couple of days ago, insured but bankrupted by health crises. Well, maybe this is part of the same thing. Health insurance is supposed to offer protection, both medically and financially. But as it turns out, an estimated 3/4 of people who are pushed into personal bankruptcy by medical problems, so 75% of that 60%, actually had insurance when they got sick or were injured.
Yeah, which is even more frightening, isn't it?
Yeah. Even so, as Washington tries to cover the tens of millions of Americans without medical insurance, many health policy experts say simply giving everyone an insurance card will not be enough to fix what is wrong with the system. Too many other people already have coverage so meager that a medical crisis means financial calamity. This in the richest country in the world, this in the country where, in a country, in a world, I guess, where every other industrialized country has either complete or some form of universal government health care. And that's what we need. Can we afford it? I don't know. Not fighting wars all the time, not having to give hundreds of billions of dollars to the corporate criminals that ruin the economy. Guess who is for mandated insurance on big companies? Walmart.
What?
Yeah. It says Walmart, the nation's largest private employer, joined hands with a major labor union to endorse the idea of requiring large companies to provide health insurance to their workers. And they did this along with the Service Employees International Union, the SEIU, that could be trying to organize Walmart. Well, it said, well, the Walmart's embrace of the employer mandate may come at a price. They say that if Congress imposes a requirement that employers offer insurance, must also offer a guarantee to businesses that health care costs will be, in fact, contained. Well, and you know what? I mean, you imagine me saying something nice about Walmart. You know, they're offering these generic drugs at $10 a pop.
$4.
$4?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And now I heard a commercial where they're starting to deliver by mail even to people who can't get out.
Oh, that's $10, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They'll mail them to you if you're not near a...
Maybe, you know, okay, it's no secret that they've had the heat on them for, I can't even remember how many years now.
Sure.
So maybe someone said, you know what? An old PR person came in and said, you know what, maybe we should do some of these things.
Or they're trying to just cut them off at the pass.
Yeah,
they want to have a hand in it. And,
right.
I mean, they actually have the money to provide health care for all their employees. They make tens of billions of dollars in profits. The owners are worth tens of billions.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the ways they get it is by shortchanging their workers and shortchanging workers across the world. They actually do provide inexpensive products for shoppers.
Yes.
And so probably then the tendency is to look the other way because in these times people want to get the cheapest that they can. In the meantime, though, that they're wrecking the lives of people because they can demand of their suppliers in other countries essentially what the workers there are going to get. Yeah.
Right.
And certainly they're giving their employees bum wages as well. And they resist, even though they make billions and billions and the owners are worth billions and billions, they resist any unionization. So we need a single-payer universal health care, single-payer being the government. And it's completely weird in, on these conservative talk shows out there, just talking about how awful the Canadian healthcare system is. And if anybody wants to bring up any of it, I actually have an article called Debunking Canadian Healthcare Myths. And I think we've talked about this before. If there are any problems with the Canadian healthcare system or any other, it's because they're inadequately funded, which simply means, and here's always my big solution for the Canadians, eh? Get rid of your military. Become like Costa Rica. You don't need an army. Get out of Afghanistan. Get rid of all those battleships that Stephen Harper, the Prime Minister, is talking about building so they can patrol the Arctic and all that, and put it into your healthcare system. So anything that's wrong with it, there'll be the money there to take care of. All right. Some of the phones are starting to fill up, although a couple open lines as well. 313-298-WRIF.
313-298-9743.
Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan, my partner in thought crime.
That's right.
We'll be right back.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with more of your calls right after this.
Sound check initiated.
Lots of your favorite riff rock all weekend. Plus, celebrate the Red, White, and Green Day. You can score your free tickets for Green Day July 14th at the Palace of Auburn Hills. One lucky Riff winner will also score a guitar autographed by the band. The Riff Block Party Weekend.
Listen and win.
The 101 WRIF. Everything that rocks.
Did I win? I won?
Thursday.
Dude, are you serious?
All day this Thursday. Exclusively from your walk right in free station. 101.
Who are you?
WRIF.
Yeah, I love you.
Do you owe taxes to the IRS that you can't afford to pay? What will you do? Your tax problem will only get worse if you don't do something about it. If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, call American Tax Relief. They've helped thousands of people like you eliminate up to 85% of their delinquent taxes. Pick up the phone and call 1-800-493-8157. If you qualify, American Tax Relief can settle your tax debts for less than you owe. Remove penalties and interest, and get the tax collector off your case. As an honest, hard-working American, you do have rights. Don't let your tax problem get worse. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation and see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-493-8159. If you qualify, you can save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Call right now. 1-800-493-8159. That's 1-800-493-8159. Here's more direct talk from DirecTV. Today, we're talking stimulus, specifically great TV at a great price kind of stimulus. With DirecTV, enjoy 100% digital picture and sound, including most sports, the greatest movies, and all your local channels. Packages start at just $29.99 a month, and you can lock in your price for a year. With no startup costs and 99.9% digital signal reliability, DirecTV has had higher customer satisfaction ratings than cable 8 years in a row. If you're in need of a TV stimulus plan, call 1-888-359-5566. Call right now and ask about free next day installation. Call 1-888-359-5566. That's 1-888-359-5566. Offer ends 7/21/09. New DirecTV customers only, subject to credit approval. Call for details. Among the largest national cable and satellite TV providers, 2008 American Customer Satisfaction Index, University of Michigan Business School.
Is your debt getting bigger? Are you falling behind on your bills and receiving collection calls? Well, it's not your fault. Millions of Americans are buried in credit card debt because of a job loss, divorce, medical bills, or just bad luck. But now there's a way you can get debt-free faster than you ever imagined. Call Credit Guard of America today for free information, and you'll learn how you can cut your monthly payments by up to half, lower or even eliminate your interest rates, and stop the collection calls once and for all. For free information, call 1-800-709-6136.
We owed $25,000 to the credit card companies. This year, we're going to be debt-free.
Credit Guard of America won't just help you get debt-free. We'll even show you how to improve your credit status.
They help me pay off 10 credit cards and rebuild my credit rating.
Call us today to learn how you can cut your monthly payments by up to half and get debt-free. For free information, call 1-800-709-6136. That's 1-800-709-6136.
Hey, back to the show in just a sec, but before that, have you guys heard about this?
There's this computer program that literally has newcomers to the internet earning tens of thousands of dollars. See, this program lets you start selling high profit products on the internet using sites like eBay, selling stuff like digital cameras and iPod accessories, even plasma TVs. Now, here's the part I think's interesting. You can make all this money selling products that you never have to see or store or pay for. And there's a company that's giving out a CD for free that tells you how to get started with it. The number for the free CD is, it's here, it's 1-800-900-8414. Looks like your computer does the work while you basically collect the money. Seems like an easy way to run a business out of your house. Anyway, to get the free CD, you call Internet Speedway at 1-800-900-8414. 1-800-900-8414.
I looked at her, and I was just, wow, she looked so young.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, what, 10 years at least?
I look at her, and it's like I'm looking at a picture of my wife from 20 years ago. It's incredible.
How are ordinary women across America looking years younger? They've discovered the proven breakthrough called Hydroxytone. It erases wrinkles, tightens skin, and makes frown lines disappear from view. See for yourself by requesting a free trial of Hydroxytone today. The results are so impressive. Hydroxytone was given away in VIP gift bags at international film festivals. Try Hydroxytone risk-free and shed years from your appearance faster than you thought possible.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Call now for your free trial of Hydroxytone. For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-630-3327. But hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-630-3327. 1-800-630-3327.
Now, Night Call is back on 101 WRIF Detroit. Here's your host, Peter Werby.
All right, thank you very much. All right, thank you very much. Welcome back. Jalene Jordan is with me, of course.
We are so smooth.
We are. 313-298-WRIF.
313-298-9743. Still a couple of open lines.
Calltalkyes@yahoo.com for email comment. Short, please. No one's answered this question about Sarah Palin's resignation statement where she said, keep your eye on the basket, where in most sports it's keep your eye on the ball.
Or the prize.
Or... Well, that's the old gospel song.
Oh, right.
Keep your eye on the prize. Hold on. I was wondering, because she was a basketball player, and so
she was a sportscaster.
She was used this long in this resignation speech, this long extended sports metaphor.
You can use metaphor.
Yeah, you can say, you know, politics is like a basketball game. You got to keep your eye on the basket, if that's correct.
I don't think it is.
So I'm saying I don't know enough about basketball. Is that what you want to do, or do you want to keep your eye on the ball? But let us know. All right. This is a phone-in talk show, and you wouldn't know it because Jalene and I have just been talking a lot. So here's Kevin in Detroit. Kevin, hi. It's Peter and Jalene. You're on the air with us.
How you guys doing?
We're doing
good,
great.
Kevin.
Well, Pete, I think what it is, I mean, the woman is obviously confused. Ellie Mae is obviously confused. Ellie Mae Clampett, that means.
Yeah.
I mean, she don't know what she's talking about. I mean, you know, you keep your eye on the ball, but, you know, let's say in the urban area, you might keep your eye on the rock, which is the ball.
Right.
I don't know what she's talking about. And I mean, you know, it's obvious this woman is out to lunch. And I read an article today that Nolan Finley said this woman is intelligent. I would like to ask them, based on what?
Well, you know what you got to do, even if you're real intelligent, you got to work at it. I always say that I'm an average. I have average. You know what? I used to compare myself to George Bush. Say both of us are of average intelligence.
That is so nice.
And he's a complete dope because he never worked at it. Whereas, you know,
I like to
think I work at it.
You do.
Yeah. So
daily.
I know a little, and I can guess the rest.
Yeah, but also, I think, Joe, I was watching MSNBC, and Joe Scarborough got highly upset with Keith Olbermann because he was making fun of Stanford. He called him Stanford and Sin, like the old Stanford and Son.
That's right. Stanford and Sin. That was funny.
I like it.
Yeah.
I do, too. I mean, he got highly upset about it. He said, my colleagues at this television station are taking cheap shots at the governor down in South Carolina. But don't Rush Limbaugh always take cheap shots at other people? And they never say anything about it?
Well, yeah. You know what, though? It's, let me tell you this. A friend of mine was visiting from Montreal, and she was staying with my wife and I, and she saw the Keith Olbermann show on MSNBC, and she said, this is an odd kind of news show because, you know, just how partisan it was and all of
that. Right, yeah.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. I appreciate your call. Let's stay in Detroit and talk to Mike. Mike, hi, you're on the air with Peter and Jolene.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
We're doing good.
Hey, I was just wondering if you've heard of, since May of this year, that 20 states, including Texas, Missouri, Arizona, and a few other states, have sent paperwork to the government, the federal government, stating or reinstating their sovereignty, and that they're tired of the federal rules and regulations that are degrading our country.
Like what?
I was wondering, but no, there's 20 states as of May that have declared their sovereignty towards the federal government.
Well, you'd have to show me that, Mike.
I know I mean, that whole Texas thing
but,
going on.
Yeah, but that it's in the Constitution that the federal government has the right to make all sorts of statutes that that concern what happens in the individual states and all the power. What's the last one, the 10th or something, the power that reserved to the states or whatever? Huh?
The federal government is the United States, which is a district that is 10 square miles, and also their, Puerto Rico, Guam, Samoan Republic, and those are also its territories. And the states are sovereign states, okay?
They're not sovereign of the federal government. The federal government is charged under the Constitution. The Congress is by making laws and enforced by the executive department and carried out by the executive department and adjudicated by the courts. It's called the balance of power. And then they have any number of rights to make, like, you're talking about things like health and safety laws, like OSHA and all that? That the states can say, oh, we can repeal all those because it's our state? Or they can say, hey, I think we're going to reinstitute slavery. What the hell? You know, Mike, I mean, I've heard this argument.
So this is some, it must be a conspiracy thing.
This is a far right-wing thing, Mike.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Forget it. It ain't happening.
I have not heard it.
And it's contrary to the Constitution. I mean, these people always talk about the Constitution. I know I say Mike. Mike might just have been repeating that. But
yeah.
Can you look that up? I mean, 20 states declare sovereignty. I don't even know what that means. We're not going to, well, they all accepted the federal bailout money, didn't they? Even South Carolina.
Yeah. Well, didn't Sarah didn't want the money, right?
I don't know, but I'll bet she took it.
In the end,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, let's. Hey, here's Joe in Berkeley. He wants to tell us about basketball, of which I know absolutely nothing, in terms of playing it at least. So, Joe, hi. You're on WRIF with Peter and Jolene. Welcome.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Well, I'm 14 years old, and my coach always told me that you don't want to look down when you're dribbling the ball and when you're shooting the ball. You want to look at the square if you're going to make a bank, and if you're going to make a swish, and you sort of do want to look at the basket. So I'm just conveying the message here.
So look at the basket.
So she could be right.
Well, she's not right about what she's saying, but yeah, she's right about that, I think.
About basketball. Well, yeah, that could be because, that's right. When you're dribbling a ball in basketball, you wouldn't be keeping your eye on the ball. That would be nuts.
You want to keep your head up.
That's right. That's right. Well, all right.
Okay.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you for answering our question.
Yeah, right.
So there's a website called the Political Inquirer, and this is something from June a year ago saying Oklahoma declares sovereignty. So
what does that mean, though? What can they do?
It's under the 10th Amendment, serving notice to the federal government to cease and desist certain mandates and directing distribution, whereas, and then it reads the 10th Amendment. I don't know.
Well, this is there's always been this tension between the federal government and states' rights. And at one point, of course, that you see where that leads to is that the segregationists, these conservative, in this case were Democrats, declared that, the Republicans in those states didn't say anything any different, that segregation was all right, that slavery was all right, because it was a state's right as a sovereign state. I don't think too much of that. Let's see. Here is Lars in Madison Heights. Lars, hi. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter and Julie.
Hi. Hey, Lars.
I celebrated 4th of July by making thermite and attempting to create thermite cutting charges as there were allegations of 9/11 conspiracy theorists.
Wait, what's
thermite?
Is that like Vegemite or whatever?
It's an incendiary composition that burns at several thousand degrees.
You were making this? This is not a good hobby, Lars.
No, it's not illegal.
Oh, okay. Well, in any event, anything that burns over 220 degrees, I want to do without. Why were you doing it? You know what?
Listen, I'm telling you, Peter, when stuff goes down, we're going to Lars' house.
He'll have the thermite.
He invited us. Right, Lars?
Yeah, you didn't say...
You guys ever want to go shooting?
Oh, yeah, and he's invited me to go shooting.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, see, we have.
I haven't been out to the rifle range in years.
Yeah.
You know, there's one at Great Lakes Crossing.
Oh, come on. Oh, inside.
There is.
Yeah.
The Bass Pro Shop.
We used to go out to, Bear Mountain? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think Bald Mountain.
Bald Mountain, right. Bald Mountain. That shows you how long ago since I've been there. Yeah.
Well, basically, what I was doing is the allegations are that because. They found traces of aluminum and rust at World Trade Center that thermite charges were used to bring the buildings down.
Yeah.
I've been working at it, and it takes, like, a pound of thermite will only melt through, about a millimeter of sheet metal.
Okay.
And I had a 7-millimeter thick piece of an I-beam, and I had, like 2 pounds of thermite on it, and that was getting it like an orange hot, not melting it. So, when you have 44 central support beams that are all about 4 inches thick, and then, maybe like 44 inches
in
diameter.
Wait, give me the headline on this. I'm kind of losing you.
I mean, most people were chilling and grilling.
Yeah.
He
was grilling.
He was grilling at a different source.
So what's the long and the short of this?
Lars.
Well, basically, you would have had to have almost completely packed the World Trade Center full of thermite, and the entire building would have been glowing white hot.
Oh, so you're actually debunking the theory then?
Yeah, and plus it doesn't instantaneously melt metal. It forms a puddle of molten iron and aluminum oxide slag, and that then transfers heat to the base metal and melts. And in the case of, if you're using it for demolitions, you're basically just using it to warp the parts of an internal combustion engine and make, because if you get like a burr or something on a piston, it won't be able to move. And that's how the military uses it to disable armored vehicles or cannons, where you're just basically, the equivalent of taking a blowtorch and melting it.
Gotcha.
You lost me at burr on the piston. But I appreciate your intensity.
Yeah,
I do.
Maybe I'll bring my Glock and we'll go shooting.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Lars.
Peter. Hey, we have another theory on the keep your eye on the basket.
Yeah.
Kim in Carlton says perhaps her comment might be a reference to the collection basket in her Pentecostal church.
There you go.
A thought.
But our caller.
Because she's been doing a lot of praying.
She's been talking
to the Lord.
Yeah. I'd say a good presidential ticket would be her and Mark Sanford.
Yeah, sure.
But, that makes sense. You would not keep your eye on the ball in basketball because you'd be looking down. That's what our caller said.
When you don't have the ball, you keep your eye on the ball.
Do you think I have a Glock of 14?
You do not.
I ain't talking. All right, let's. Could you pull up the 10th Amendment, just the words of it, too, because I think some people are calling in about that. Here's Nathan in St. Clair Shores. Nathan, hi. Thanks for calling 313-298-WRIF. You're on the air. Go ahead.
I don't understand what you don't get about the 10th Amendment. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, anything that's not specifically laid out in the Constitution belongs to the states. I mean, the federal government was never created to create laws.
The what?
The federal government was never created to write laws.
The Congress is empowered by the Constitution. If you read the whole Constitution, not just the 10th Amendment, this is what they have. I don't know. What's this conversation about? I mean, do you think that any federally passed statute is illegitimate or unconstitutional?
No. But states have a states have the ability. They have the you were wondering what exactly state sovereignty means, and that means they're allowed to make the laws that they want.
As long as they don't contravene legitimate federal laws. I mean, you can't, a state could not say that we're repealing the health and safety provisions of OSHA, for instance. Or they couldn't say we're going to not follow the 14th Amendment, or we're going to have only propertied white males be able to vote, or something like that. They can't do that.
Because the last two of those things are actually laid out in the Constitution. The first one is not. OSHA does not appear in the Constitution.
Right. Okay. You're right. So you're saying that a state has the right to contravene that.
I'm saying that states have the right to make their own laws.
That would be, for instance, lessen the terms of the federal statute that governs.
Yeah, that was the entire point of the whole thing.
Well, I mean, listen, I have some opinions that aren't highly accepted either, so it's not like that I'm going to be disparaging of you, but this is not supported by the constitutional interpretation of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has any number of times upheld the right of the government to have supremacy over all state laws. I mean, you know, people say, you know, having income tax is unconstitutional. And I remember back 50 years ago, they were saying that the federal government's attempt to enforce anti-segregation was unconstitutional. I mean, ultimately, and you know, we can work politically to change things. I mean, usually what happens is that the states want to weaken protections for the ordinary people. Whenever they invoke states' rights, it's not that they're going to do the average common working class or middle class person. It's that when you hear people start talking about states' rights, you're talking about people trying to figure out how to screw some section of the state population. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate your call. Here's Kathleen on the road. Kathleen, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. How you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Good. Hi.
I just want you to know I listen to you almost every Sunday night because I work afternoons.
Kathleen, you
know, I enjoy hearing you guys on the radio.
Okay.
Oh,
you're not the Kathleen that wrote us the snail mail letter.
No, okay. No, that wasn't me.
Okay. That's cool.
I just wanted to call in and say that I'm really disappointed that Chief Barron got fired and replaced by Warren Evans for the Detroit Police Chief.
How come?
Well, my boyfriend's a police officer, and all the guys really like Chief Barron. In the short time that he's been in office since Cockrell put him in, he's already started the ball rolling on a lot of good things, like new pistols for the guys and new uniforms, which they've needed for a long time. And they're all, I think, kind of upset that he's not going to be chief of police anymore.
Now, I have to say, I've been a little remiss in following this, although I did know that it happened. Was it just that Mayor Bing wants to have essentially his man there rather than...
Yeah, I think that's the politics. Every mayor gets to point his own chief of police.
Yeah, that is it.
I was wondering what that was all about.
Yeah. I noticed that, and I didn't think there was any allegations against the
police chief. No.
Yeah, I know.
It's just a shame that he can't look beyond the politics and look at what's good for the police department and, you know, what the officers were happy about and whatnot and who they were supporting. So...
All right, maybe we can get some more comment if they're,
Sadly enough, it happens in every industry, including this one.
Right.
In radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kathleen.
But
thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. All right, let's get another call here. And it is Chris from Farmington Hills who just got off an emergency room shift. Hey, Chris, it's Peter and Jeline. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Going good.
Good.
I just wanted to tell you, you know, I'm not looking to argue on the whole healthcare thing, but I see that if we go to a national healthcare system or stick with what we've got financial ruin ahead of us, unless, and I don't know if America's willing to do this, but we've got to hold people accountable for some of their social choices. A lot of what I see are the outcomes of people's decisions to be obese, smoke, drink, etc. A lot of the healthcare dollars get wasted are end-of-life care because nobody is willing to step forward and say, let them go. We pour a lot of money
down the drain for end-of-life care.
Enormous amount.
And you would believe all the people that I'm forced to get emergent dialysis for because they were out smoking crack and didn't go to their dialysis center. We spend incredible amounts of money helping people out of their bad choices.
It's hard to say. I mean, what percentage of that, what percentage that represents of people within the healthcare system, the health dollars expended. I have to say, Chris, I mean, I know you're right there in the trenches, but that is one of the key conservative arguments against extending a universal single payer healthcare. That a lot of, you know, so many of the people got themselves in their own jam. I mean, if you were listening earlier, that what I was saying is that great percentages of the people that go bankrupt are people that have health care, that that suddenly are hit by catastrophic illness or something like that. And I understand what you're saying, but I mean, I'll tell you, it just sounds kind of mean-spirited.
Mean-spirited,
yeah. I mean, sure. I mean, people do a lot of bad things to themselves and make a lot of bad choices. I mean, what about the upstanding citizen who is providing for his or her family, but actually has taken on so much that stress is what is eroding their health? I mean, increasingly, people within medicine think that one of the biggest killers of all is stress. Well, I mean, a person that's ambitious, that's a type A personality, that doesn't smoke crack, that that's not obese. You could say, oh, well, what the hell? I mean, he brought his own heart attack on because he insisted on working 70 hours a week at the office and was so uptight about all his employees doing everything wrong. I mean, we need great amount of care before before people hit the skids that you're talking about. I mean, what you're essentially talking about as well is a lot of it is characteristics of the poor. And why do we have a country that has tens of millions of poor people you find that every country in the world, the poor have the worst health statistics because there's something about poverty that makes people make bad choices. And if you want to put it all off to free will, well, I think eventually that gets the mean-spiritedness.
Like the eating of fast food because it's 89 cents to get in your full, you know, I mean, that's when people don't have money, that's where they go to eat.
All right, Chris, thank you very much. And, all right, we got open lines for you at 313-298-WRIF.
313-298-9743.
Peter and Jolene, we'll be right back.
This is Night Call on 101 WRIF. Peter will be right back with more of your calls right after this. Every Tuesday, get double shots of the best riff rock. The way you want it.
Double rock. See, I told you there was a rational explanation.
Super Tuesday on 101 WRIF. Everything that rocks.
Did you know that most credit counselors are working for the credit card companies? It's true. They're practically collection agencies themselves. Don't turn over your financial future to them, because I've got a system that can eliminate your debt once and for all. To prove it, I'll send you a powerful free tape today.
I owed over $30,000 in credit card debt, and today, only a year and a half later, I owe no money to the credit card companies.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it, using just the money you already make. No credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
I'm completely debt-free now, thanks to John Commuta.
Don't hand over your future to credit counselors. Call now, and I'll rush you my free tape today. Call 1-800-600-5460 for your free tape. Call 1-800-600-5460. 1-800-600-5460.
Do you want a wireless laptop but your credit score is holding you back? We can help. Guaranteed. If you have a bank account and can afford weekly payments of just $29.99 for 12 months, we'll send you a brand new wireless laptop no matter what your credit looks like. Call Tronics Country now. You're approved for a brand new Dell or HP laptop. Call now and we'll also include a free MP3 player and free LCD TV with your paid order. Call 800-990-2258. Still not sure? Then hear what our customers say.
I'm really enjoying my laptop.
I do
just wanted to call to say how happy I am with it.
And I'm very pleased with their service. So I would suggest to anyone that is looking for computers or trying to find computers, Tronix is the best place to call.
Call now and lock in your free gifts. You will not be turned down. Call 800-990-2258. 800-990-2258. That's 800-990-2258.
101 WRIF in WRIF HD1 Detroit.
Jolene, you're listening to Night Call, the Ritz award-winning talk show on 101
WRIF. All right, thank you very much, and welcome back, 313-298-WRIF. This is our second and final hour, and at 1 a.m. Eastern Time, I'll be interviewing Edwin Black, who wrote a dull-sounding book called Internal Combustion, but it's extraordinary about the origins of the internal combustion engine and how it became the dominant form of transportation.
That's just slightly appropriate for this town. Yeah,
exactly. And also, and this is an older one that I'm repeating, with this book about Che Guevara.
Yeah.
You know, whatever happened.
All the kids wear the T-shirts.
Yeah. It's become a pop icon.
Yeah.
Listen, let's talk a little.
His daughter or granddaughter, which would it be?
Could be a granddaughter.
Yeah. She is some kind of, she's modeling for something. Someone out there, remind me.
There you go.
Yeah, she's this kind of, you know, smoking hot babe using it for a cause. I can't remember what it was.
Well, we spent the first hour wasting our time talking about Sarah Palin. But some then about the health system and what we need to bring. Well, I don't know why it's called reform. This system we have now is absolutely irreformable and ought to be just scrapped. There are some questions, though. I mean, this thing would cost an enormous fortune if you attempted to bring everybody into a national health program. But why is it that so many other countries can do that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe they need to...